Stop wasting time searching for deals on the guns and gear you want. Let Gundelio do the work for you. Download Gundelio for free, enable notifications, and start saving. You'll find hot deals, exclusive offers, and more. Trigger the deals. Gundelio.
All right, settle back. We're going to be talking about, well, guess what? Guns. I'm Tom Gresham. It's Gun Talk. We talk about guns a lot around here. Well, actually, we talk about guns even when we're not on the air, because that's one of our hobbies, is talk about guns and shooting guns and collecting guns and buying guns and maybe selling guns now and then. And you know, you know how much I like old cool guns. I've been a 1911 fan for a gazillion years. You know, me and John Browning were, no, I'm not that old, okay? But the 1911 is just a cool gun. And it's interesting, it kind of divides on generational lines. There are actually young people who've never shot a 1911, actually never shot a metal gun, a steel gun at all, which is weird. And when they get a chance to shoot a really good 1911, they go, oh, now I get it. I see what you guys are talking about all the time. One of the guys who's really been instrumental over the generations, over many, many years, of making 1911s work better, shoot better, more accurate, and everything else, and now, of course, does all sorts of things with guns, Bill Wilson from Wilson Combat. He joins us right now. Bill, thank you for some time. I know that you're wanting to get back out on the range here, so we're not going to keep you too long, my friend.
No problem. Good to be invited to the show.
Well, I appreciate it. By the way, you killing any hogs these days?
Well, I've been having pretty good success up to the last couple of days. I think they're hiding from me the last couple of days. But I've had a little bit of success. I think I've killed 447 since January 1. So not a bad start to the year.
Not bad. 447 hogs so far this year. We're only halfway through the year. Holy cow.
Yeah, it started off pretty good.
What do you like to shoot them with?
I've shot almost all those with our 300 hammer cartridge.
Ah, the 300 hammer. Now, that's one you developed, right?
Yeah, it's basically a ballistically a 30-30 out of an AR-15 platform.
Now, that's pretty sweet. You've been tinkering with guns for, like, forever, it seems like. As long as I have known guns, it seems like there's been Bill Wilson guns out there. How'd you get started?
Well, I've always liked guns since I was a kid. I mean, mm-hmm. My interest in guns started, you know, from the time I was maybe 8 years old or something like that.
Huh.
And, you know, but the actual getting started into the business of, you know, the firearms industry, mm-hmm. It mainly came from my interest in competition shooting. You know, it's one of those deals, you know, when you're a competitor, it doesn't matter what the sport is, if you use some sort of gear, you always think, well, if I had better gear, I'd do better.
Yeah, right.
You know, so when in reality, if you trained harder, you would do better. But anyway, you know, I had guns built by a couple of, at the time, big-name gunsmiths, and I wasn't happy with them. And so I finally, I can take my jewelry and watchmaking training, and surely I can work on one of these big parts that's in a 1911 handgun. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got started, was building a gun for myself and, you know, won a few matches with it. And next thing you know, a buddy says, well, build me one, and another one, build me one. And next thing I know, I'm in the gun business.
You were a watchmaker.
Yeah, I grew up in the jewelry and watchmaking business. My folks ran a jewelry store for 53 years.
I'll be a son of a gun. Well, these are big parts compared to that.
Oh, yeah. And I went to the watch and jewelry making school. Just basically to appease my father. He wanted me to take the jewelry store over, obviously, but,
right.
You know, I had less than no interest there. I mean, you know, a watch to me is a tool, and I don't care anything about any kind of jewelry, so.
So, all right, Wilson Combat makes some of the finest 1911s on the planet. What is it about a 1911 that we still love so much?
Well, I would say the two biggies, I mean, number one is, there's not any other semi-auto out there that you can get as good a trigger pull on as you can get on a 1911 platform.
Mm-hmm.
So nice, crisp, repeatable triggers is, I think, number one. And then number two, I mean, you can make them extremely accurate. I mean, let's just take my buddy Doug Caney, you know, that just won his 19th Yankee Cup there, you know.
Right.
I think his score was perfect score, all shots, all 192 shots in an 8-inch circle. And he had only, I think, eight or ten shots out of the 4-inch X ring. And to shoot that competition, you shoot out to 50 yards. So, obviously, his 1911 was pretty darn accurate.
I mean, really, if you get a really tuned-up 1911, and a lot of people think of pistols as short range, but at 50 yards, you can still shoot, if you really know what you're doing, you're not moving fast like Doug's doing, with a really fine gun like one of yours, what could you shoot maybe out of a ransom rest or something at 50 yards? What kind of group are we talking about?
Oh, and something in the sub-2-inch range.
Under 2 inches at 50 yards. That's yes. Just amazing. Are 9mm more accurate than 45s?
I would say in general. And a lot of that's because I think there's higher quality 9mm ammo available than there is 45 ammo.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, that kind of brings me to your newest thing. I guess it's one of the newest things is you've got your own design of a 9mm defensive pistol.
Yeah, we developed what we call the EDC X9.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's kind of the base platform. And now we're, you know, making variants of it. You know, we've got an exterior version of it now. And then we just last week introduced what we call the SFX9, you know, and that stands for solid frame, X pattern, right. 9mm. And so far the reception, it's been phenomenal. We immediately, you know, got backlogged terribly on that gun. So,
well, and it's a small gun. The SFX9. It's what, a 3.25-inch barrel?
Yes, it's the grip frame is about the size of, say, a Glock 19, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then it's got a 3.5-inch barrel. It's wow. A pretty compact little gun for something that holds 16 rounds.
No kidding. Now the. The EDC X9, I'm looking at that, and that's your own creation, but it looks an awful lot like a 1911.
In a lot of ways, it is. I mean, it's still got a similar barrel lockup. I mean, it doesn't have, you know, as many lock and lugs as a regular 1911, but it still has the swinging link lockup at the bottom, you know. So the basic lockup's 1911, which means that's why we get such good accuracy out of it.
Hmm.
And then... I mean, even though the trigger mechanism is somewhat different than a 1911, the features of the trigger mechanism that allows you to get a good trigger pull are still the same.
Interesting. And it's a double stack, right?
Yes. We have the subcompact is a 10+1. The what we call the compact is a 15+1. Then we have a full-size gun that's a 18+1.
What's your backlog like? Because, I mean, your guns are not inexpensive, but they're always in demand.
We're pretty far behind. I mean, as you know, I mean, the firearms industry is dealing with an unprecedented amount of demand right now. And, you know, it depends on the model, but, I mean, we're anywhere from as maybe 4 months to over a year, delivery, depending on the model.
All right, I'm going to switch one other thing here because and a lot of people know that this month we lost Chip McCormick, and you had a really nice tribute to Chip. And in fact, I'm just looking, I've got Chip McCormick mags in my 1911 at the moment. You make great mags. We just had Virgil Tripp on talking about mags. What is it about having good mags, and why should people spend money to have good mags in their pistol?
Because it's basically the heart of the gun as far as function, you know. It's the easiest part of it to get, you know, to replace, repair, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's kind of false savings to think you can go to the gun show and buy a, you know, $7 or $8 supposedly military surplus, which it isn't, you know, magazine, and have good function in a 1911.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why, you know, Chip was so successful with the company before we purchased it from him, and stuff. We've been so successful at Wilson Combat with our magazine line is there's a demand for high quality magazines for the platform.
Well, exactly, and it's I tell the story about, you know, Clint Smith, when the guy's having a bad mag, he just takes the magazine from him and throws it away. So that now your problem's over. Don't use bad mags. You know, and these are guns we're counting on in many cases, either to win a competition, an important national match, or even more important than that, to save our lives or the lives of other people. Why would you want to put a cheap part in it? Because when that fails, that gun is not going to work anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of like not even proven out a gun that you're going to carry. You know, I mean, it's sad that a lot of people will buy a gun and not even hardly shoot it, and then they carry it and think they're good to go. I mean, I don't care who makes a gun, whether it's us or anybody else. I'm not going to carry any firearm that I haven't shot at least 100 rounds through to prove it out and get familiar with it and know it's zeroed, you know, for point of aim and all that sort of thing.
Yep. No, I understand. Well, for those that want to know, I mean, take a look at what you guys are doing. It's Wilson Combat on the web, wilsoncombat.com. You can see all the various guns. You've got, obviously, 9-11 stuff. You've got your new pistols. You have AR-15s, AR-10s, and a lot of custom work and all of that. And you're located right there in Arkansas.
Yes, we're in Northwest Arkansas.
Very good. Well, Bill, thank you so much. I promised you I wouldn't keep you very long because I know you got to get back out and shoot some guns, so I appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. You take care. Bill Wilson, yes, one of the true pioneers in pistol craft out there. Couldn't get the guns he wanted for competition, so he said, I can do that. I can make those. How many times have we heard that from these guys? All right, 866-TALK-GUN. We're open lines looking for your range reports. What have you been shooting? What have you been buying? And what are you looking for that you can't find? 866-TALK-GUN.
6 Hours P365, America's number one selling gun, features magazine capacities of 10+1, 12+1, or 15+1, and is available in multiple configurations, including the SAS with integrated bullseye sight, the XL with an extended 3.7-inch barrel, and the XL Romeo Zero with the Romeo Zero micro red dot sight. The P365 is easy to shoot thanks to an ergonomic design and clean, crisp trigger. 6 Hour. Never settle.
Mental health and guns. At Walk the Talk America, we are working with both the mental health community and the gun industry. Created by a gun industry veteran, Walk the Talk America seeks to raise awareness and create change through suicide prevention and firearm safety without legislation. We strive to eliminate the prejudice that firearms and mental health face. For more information and to support Walk the Talk America, please visit walkthetalkamerica.org.
Used guns can be a great value, but you have to know who you're buying from. What if you could buy quality used guns with a lifetime warranty from the Internet's largest online reseller? That's what you get at DeweysGuns.com. They stand behind every firearm purchase for life. If you have a problem, they'll either fix or replace your gun. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, and more. Check out their inventory today at DeweysGuns.com. They just keep on coming. Several things going on here. We'll just cover a few of them. U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell, Democrat from Michigan, the wife of the former John Dingell, former representative, she is calling for the Consumer Product Safety Commission to be able to regulate firearms. Those of us old enough to remember, Congress took that away from the CPSC because the Consumer Product Safety Commission several decades ago said, well, we're going to regulate firearms as a hazardous substance, and we think we should ban handgun ammunition. And they had the ability to do that. And Congress went in, including her husband, John Dingell, who was an NRA board member, and blocked that so the Consumer Product Safety Commission cannot regulate firearms. And, of course, they always say, well, you know, we regulate teddy bears, but we don't regulate guns. Well, that's not true, of course. Firearms are very heavily regulated. If you don't think so, go try to buy one from a gun store without doing a background check. The FBI has to okay every single purchase of a gun from a gun store. Oh, yeah, and gun stores have to be licensed. And when a gun is made, it has to be tracked as it's shipped, as a record of who made it and then where it was shipped, on and on and on. But they say, yeah, but, you know, teddy bears are more heavily regulated. No, they're not. That's a lie. And the idea is it's just the same way that when the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, they were going to study, big air quotes, study guns, gun accidents, gun deaths. And Congress took that ability away from them because, and why would they do that? Because the head of the agency, the part of the agency that was going to study that, said, our goal is to make guns like cigarettes, dirty and banned. Their goal with their quote-unquote study was to ban guns. So Congress said, no, sorry, that's outside your purview. And then when the Consumer Product Safety Commission said, we're going to ban handgun ammunition as a hazardous substance, Congress said, no, you can't do that. And yet Debbie Dingell wants to give them the ability to ban ammunition, to ban guns as a hazardous substance. Let's see, over the Sixth Circuit, this is very interesting. You remember bump stocks banned 2 years ago? The case is still alive. The Sixth Circuit has taken on the bump stock case. In March, a divided panel on the Sixth Circuit invalidated the ban. Now it's going to go en banc there. The Gun Owners of America is pushing that. That's very interesting. And then in Louisiana, next door to Texas, remember Texas just passed and Governor Abbott signed constitutional carry, eliminating the need, the requirement to have a permit to exercise your Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. But in Louisiana, the legislature voted overwhelmingly to pass constitutional carry, but Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards vetoed it. He issued this statement. How many times have we heard one that goes like this? I won't read the whole statement. I only go as far as I need to, which is not very far. I am a strong supporter of the Second Amendment and an enthusiastic outdoorsman and hunter, but I don't need to hear any more. When I hear I am a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, but it means I'm not. Just not. Look, here's the reality. And the legislature is going to vote whether to come back into a special session to try to override the veto. It's not a given. It's not a given that they could get the votes. If you're in Louisiana, you need to be letting your legislators know how you feel about this. Well, it's not a given that they're going to even vote to come back into special session. First, they have to vote to come back in a special session for all of them to go back to Baton Rouge. And then it's not a given that it can be overridden. Okay, here's the dirty little political secret of it. In Louisiana, the governor is maybe more powerful than in any other state, at least as powerful, because he has line item veto ability. Any legislator who crosses the governor suddenly finds that his or her district gets zero money, none, wiped out. It's hardball. And the governor is not at all shy about doing that. I mean, that's the game, that's the tools. That's the power he has, and that's the way he runs it. Governor Edwards, John Bel Edwards, he's term limited. This is his last term. He wants some other national position with Democrats. And I'm sure there's somebody whispering in his ear and say, you cannot sign a constitutional carry bill and get elected or chosen for anything big in the Democratic Party. That's pure speculation on my part, but it's what I think. I think it's probably going on there. So if you're in Louisiana and you want constitutional carry, you need to be contacting all of your legislators and ask them to vote to override the governor's veto of constitutional carry. All right, let's go to the phones. Line one, Thomas is with us out of Bakersfield, California. Thomas, you're on Gun Talk. What you got?
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
I want to talk to you about, pardon me, the 1890 pump action. We used to call it a 22, whatever.
Uh-huh.
We call it a gallery gun.
Oh, yeah. Does that have the corn cob forearm on it?
Yeah, it had an exposed hammer.
Yep.
It was Browning's, when he was coming out of... His pump action, lever action thing in the automatics.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up this ragged one. It was chambered in long, 22 long, right?
Oh, wow.
I thought, oh, this is a ragged piece of crap. And it rusted. It looked like the thing had been
right,
rolling around the back of somebody's pickup for a while. Anyway, I thought, I'll grab it, you know, and I work on stuff. So I put this thing up, and I said, I'll find some long ammo, right? And I pick some out. I start shooting this thing. It's got like a 15-round tube on it.
Right.
And, well, maybe a few more with longs. But no two rounds come out of the barrel sounding the same.
Interesting. What was going on?
Yeah. Well, the barrel was shot out. It looked like a rusty pipe.
Well, not you know, who knows? That thing could have been used in some circus or fair or a gallery somewhere and just literally shot out the barrel.
Well, usually they were short, but what I figured out was I could extend the carrier 3/16 of an inch.
Okay.
And I had a long rifle. Well, I found this old guy up in Montana somewhere. He was relining old black powder rifles.
Right.
I call him up and he says, yeah, I can put a chrome molly barrel in there, just like the 1911s, right?
Well, that's cool. And look, I apologize, but we're flat out of time. So obviously you modified it. You got it to shoot. How's it shoot now?
Oh, shoots great.
That is terrific. I mean, and look, I appreciate it. Again, I apologize. We're kind of at the end of the segment here. We got to run because the computer is not our friend at this point because it will start playing music and then play the commercial right on top of us. We can keep talking about guns. Well, okay, the reality is we do keep talking about guns during the break. That's what we do around here. If you want to join us, 866-TALK-GUN. Also, when we come back, I want to tell you about I keep talking about giving a gun to somebody before you're gone so they can enjoy it. I just did. I want to tell you about the gun that I gave away. I think it's cool. Maybe you will too. I've mentioned a number of times, if you're going to give guns to somebody, put them in your will or something, you might want to consider giving a gun to somebody now. When you can tell them the story and you can talk about it, you can enjoy giving it to somebody. I did that this week. I'm not checking out. Don't worry. I have a gun that my father gave me, and it was his first gun. And it's a Remington Improved Model 6. That's a rolling block or falling block 22, single shot. Weighs like 3 3/4 pounds. It'll be dainty, almost petite, single shot 22 rifle. Chamber for 22 long rifle. I wanted my son to have it so he could have his daughters, 10 and 8, shoot it. And so I gave it to Ryan, along with a letter. And here's the thing. The dad gave it to me, I don't know, 20 years ago, with a letter that described the circumstances of when he got it. Dad was born in 22. He was about 8 years old. And he said that he got double pneumonia in the pre-antibiotic days. That was very serious. He was laid up for several weeks. Two of his aunts came and stayed with him and tag-teamed back and forth, both of them nurses, taking care of him. He was in bed that whole time. And during that time, he was given this Remington Model 6 rimfire, you know, 22 rimfire rifle. He couldn't go outside, he said, but he dry-fired it at everything in the room thousands and thousands of times. He said, actually, that bright mark you see, indentation, where the hammer hits the firing pin. He said, that was made before I even fired the first shot. And then his letter goes on to describe how back then a box of 22, he found out that 22 shorts were cheaper, so he bought shorts. They were 20 cents a box of 50. And money was hard to come by, and so he would pick beans, and he'd get 10 cents for a big pail of beans. He would have to pick two big pails of beans to get 20 cents, and then he could go buy a box of ammo. And I think this may have been, and I love the letter, and I had the letter from Grits, gave it with the rifle to Ryan, so he has that to pass along. He will enjoy that. The girls will enjoy that. This may have been the gun that he used when he would go to school. He would take his gun with him. Yes, public school. Take your gun to school, put it in the coat closet, and then you can hunt with it on the way home each afternoon as you're walking home. Different times. I understand that. But I just thought it was pretty cool. He also said, you know, the shooting shorts in the chamber now may not be able to get a long rifle in there because it's all gunked up. But I don't know. That'll be up to Ryan to figure out if he wants to, how he wants to handle that deal. Let's see. I want to talk to Dave on line 5 out of Billings, Montana. Hey, Dave, you got a range report for us, huh?
Yeah, Tom, thanks. I was doing a little bit of shopping earlier in the spring, and we weren't very locked down at all in Montana, really, for the most part. So okay. I went to the local sporting goods store, and much to my wife's dismay, came home with a brand-new Benelli M4. And my wife, you know, to break it in and used my logic, I said, honey, when you come across a Benelli M4, you buy it. You don't hesitate for one second. So got that home and discovered, you know, that actually puts the capacity over in my safe. So we ended up having to go back to the gun store again and bought a new Liberty safe for the bedroom for home defense. It's a digital access safe, which I really like, quick access. So great weapon, you know, great safe. I love having a quick access safe in the bedroom as well for home defense weapons. Funny enough, my Benelli doesn't fit in there. My original shotgun that I bought when I was 18 years old, happens to be in there, a Winchester Defender. Quite an upgrade to the Benelli from the Defender, but well, still, the Defender's a great weapon. So
we have a phrase for that. We have something we call that, Dave. When you have more guns than your safe will hold, then you have to get another safe. We call that evening up. It's like if you have a plate of mashed potatoes and you don't have enough gravy, you got to go get some more gravy to even up, right?
Yes, that's absolutely true. Or maybe a little more chicken fried steak in with that gravy.
Exactly. Same deal. So you got to even up. So now your guns exceeded your safe. You had to even up. You had to go get a safe. I like the way you think about this.
Absolutely. And I'm very impressed with that, Benelli. It is amazing. And it cycles, target loads just as well as it does double-aught buck. So a phenomenal gun. If you have the means, by all means, go get one.
Yeah, that is a great shotgun, and I'll tell you from experience, we know that they will just run and run and run. When other guns have choked on crud and junk and you haven't cleaned them, the Benelli just keeps running.
Yep, I highly recommend it. If you ever have the means, don't pass it up, and tell your wife, hey, when you come across a Benelli, you buy it right then.
Sound like you got a keeper there, man. I appreciate the call. That's a great range report. Tell you what, I'll take a quick break here. Bob, Jay, don't go anywhere. We're going to get to you as soon as we come back. Patience, please. And anybody else, if you'd like to join us, we're having a good time around here. You could be part of that. 866-TALK-GUN.
ATN offers Smart HD, Ultra HD, thermal and night vision rifle scopes, binoculars, monoculars, range finders, and more for hunters, outdoor enthusiasts, military, and law enforcement. With features like Bluetooth Wi-Fi, extended battery life, Ultra HD sensor resolution, and full HD video recording, cutting-edge technology meets quality parts in every ATN product. The future of optics is already here. Find your next optic at atncorp.com.
Visit guntalk.com/win to enter GunTalk's X Marks the Spot giveaway for multiple chances to win a P365X Romeo Zero from Sig Sauer. Sig's P365X Romeo Zero Micro Compact features a 3.1-inch barrel, the X-Series grip module with a 12-round flush-fit magazine, signature X-Series flat trigger, and the Romeo Zero Micro Red Dot sight installed and ready to go. Enter now through June 30th at guntalk.com/win.
Introducing Kimber's Micro 9 Repeat Black Ice. All the attitude of the original, now in a 9mm subcompact that's like nothing else. Here's just a taste of what you get. A match-grade V-cut trigger, True Glow TFX Pro Day-Night Sights, the Stiplex front strap pattern, slide lightning cuts, and stepped cocking serrations. In other words, the Micro 9 Rapide Black Ice may be subcompact, but it's still big on performance. Find your new everyday carry at KimberAmerica.com.
On the show here, just give me a call right now. Call me at Tom. That's me, Tom Talk Gun. That's what we do here, Talk Guns. Tom Talk Gun will get you in there. Let's see, Bob did that. He's out of Blackstaff, Arizona on two. Hello, Bob. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate that. What's on your mind, sir? Well, Bob, put the phone down. Tell you what, let's do this. Let's drop down to Jay. We'll see if we can round Bob up in just a second here on line one. Jay's in Boulder, Colorado. Hey, Jay, you're on.
Thank you, Tom. Like to comment on tactics and the public shootings lately in my area. Mm-hmm. I certainly feel for that Arvada officer who responded and saw a man standing there with an AR.
Right.
Longtime believer in when the shooting's over, get your gun out of sight.
Yeah, we're talking about the story of Johnny Hurley, who's the good Samaritan, the good guy, and even the sheriff said his actions were heroic, and he probably saved a lot of lives, but unfortunately, he was shot and killed by a responding officer who mistook him for the bad guy.
Yes, and you need to come across as the good guy. I can't remember whether it was Mossad Ayoub or Lenny McGill that pushed, once you get your gun out of sight when it's over, ask if he's hurt anybody else.
You
people know that you're the good guy.
Right. There are a lot of things you can do, and none of them are instinctive. You have to train. You have to thought through. And as you say, and pay attention to people like Mossad Ayoub, Lenny McGill, the people at Gunsight, Chris Serino, the people who think about this stuff and train people. I was at the SIG Academy, and they did something I'd never seen before. I thought, well, that's an interesting idea. You know, in a scenario, you know, the good guy draws, shoots, and then he's backing away, and he's yelling to everybody around, call 911, call 911.
You know, absolutely.
You're thinking that everybody's going to say, oh, he's obviously not the bad guy there. Now, that may not help you with the cops, but at least it kind of sets the stage. But to your point, at that point, don't have a gun in your hand any more than you have to. And also, don't go approach the bad guy on the ground. I mean, this is a TV deal. You're going to walk up and kick the gun away or take the gun. No, do not go up there. Keep your distance. That pistol you have, that firearm you have, is a force projection system. The reason it was invented is so you don't have to get close to bad people. You can stand off and stop them. So don't give up that advantage. You know, in fact, you probably, I would say, keep increasing your distance. Get away. Let the good guys show up and don't have a gun in your hand. And then do exactly what they say. I mean, if they say prone out, lay down, don't be saying, but I'm the good guy. No. Shut your mouth and do exactly what they say.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
hands are a good sign.
That's a good point. Hands up, you know, fingers spread out, open hands. They can see you do not have a weapon, whether it's on your belt, out of sight, please. Might be another reason to maybe not be open carrying. Oh, I'll open that can of worms again. Or maybe you go, like somebody said, stick it under a plant stand somewhere, you know, put it away. You can explain everything later when everything is sorted out and they know that you're not the bad guy and nobody shot you. This is, you know,
yes.
This thing in Colorado is going to be examined thoroughly. And I hope we keep the conversation up and we remember the name Johnny Hurley. He's the good guy. He ran to help the police officer. He ran toward it and helped other people. He shot the bad guy who had just killed a police officer who was evidently planning on killing a lot of other people. But in the process, he got shot. And look, this is not the first time that a concealed carry person has gotten shot when they intervene. There was a case in Texas, I remember. I think it was outside of a courthouse where the guy, and I think he was a concealed carry instructor, turned out that the bad guy was wearing body armor, and he killed the good guy. So you know, just because you're the good guy, as Masada Yub says, not everybody can see that halo above your head. So there you go. Look, I appreciate the call, sir. I got to keep running here. Let me see. What's our time? Oh, yeah, we're okay. Let's get Kaysen on here. Line 2 out of Lubbock, Texas. Kaysen, I got about a minute and a half. Go for it.
Yes, Governor Abbott here in Texas passed the constitutional carry and it goes into effect on September 1st. Now, all I have is full-size pistols, and I was trying to figure out the best, like, 10-millimeter compact pistol.
Why 10-millimeter?
From what I realize, it's the best that I can find. It's better than 45. It's smaller. It packs a heck of a punch. That's about it.
Have you ever shot a 10-millimeter?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The reality is this. Against human targets, there's no difference between 9, 40, 45, and 10 in terms of stopping power. 10 is going to give you a little bit more energy and all, and it's good. Don't get me wrong. I like 10s. I mean, Lord knows. I like 10s a lot. But, you know, Glock has a small 10. I think Springfield's got a small 10. Several other companies have small 10s. They work really well. I would not try to find a super lightweight one. I mean, simply because they are going to recoil a lot. And so I would, if it were me, I would either want a full-size one, or if I'm going smaller, maybe a steel one. Kind of hard to know. I do like 10s, and I understand what you're saying. What other handguns do you have?
I've got 9mm and 145.
Okay.
They're all 6-hour.
Well, 6 got 10s. Do you like 6?
Yes, sir. I saw that there's a P220 or the P320.
Right. And I think they just came out with a 10mm 320, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, obviously that would be a great carry gun. The 220, and look, we made a Gun Talk branded SIG P220. We were the first people to come out with a SIG P220 and 10mm. But it's a big gun. It's a heavy gun. It's a great gun. Shoots fabulous. Don't get me wrong. But it would be a lot to carry every day. A 320 probably, honestly, would be a better carry gun. I don't know if they have it in the compact model on the 320.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll take a look at that. The other thing is, if you're going to get a 10mm, start finding ammo. Do you have any 10mm ammo right now?
No, sir.
Well, there may be the stumbling block. I would say start looking around online, anywhere else you can, start putting away some 10mm ammo, because it's not going to do any good to get the gun if you can't find ammo, and that's kind of the tough part right now. 9mm is available more and more, and actually pretty decent prices. 10mm, that's going to be a little trickier. Although, I got a line on some. We'll be able to share. I think I found some 10mm ammo, but I'm not sure. I'm poking around, trying to find it, trying to talk to people. If we can find some, and I think we may have found a source, I'll let you know. It may be, I don't know, maybe a month before I can really rock this down. We'll see. But working on that as well. So there you go. Our number is 866-TALK-GUN. Also, if you'd like to be part of the after show, now's probably a good time to call. Same number, 866-TALK-GUN or Tom Talk Gun. If you haven't checked out the after show, it's a podcast. It's part of the podcast. The entire show becomes the podcast, of course. And wherever you get your podcast, you can get Gun Talk. Just look for it there. Also available on YouTube, of all places. We'll be right back. All right, let's go straight to the phones. Mark's on 4 out of Hampton, Virginia. Hey, Mark, thank you for your patience. What's on your mind today?
The case where the guy was shot. Everybody, mm-hmm. I've always heard, you know, preach the sheepdog theory. I heard mm-hmm. years ago a guy talk about being a porcupine. He carries for the protection of himself and his family, and that's pretty much it. That's kind of my thing, because you just don't know what you're going to get into a lot of times. I didn't sign up to go defend everybody else. Like an officer, he's going to, you know, generally they're going to respond when they're called, same as military. I'm not knocking anybody that does. It's a personal choice, but In so many cases, you just don't know what you're getting into, and you put yourself in jeopardy. Now he's not there for his family. I'm sure the cop feels bad about it and everything, but that doesn't bring him back. And not saying it's cop's fault, he put himself in that situation. He right. I'm sure he was aware of what possibly could happen. He probably never thought he was going to get shot by a responding officer.
I'd never heard the porcupine versus the sheepdog. I kind of like that though, which is, you know, what are you caring for? Are you there to protect the world? That's probably not a real good attitude. You need to get that. Yeah, let me tell you about something we did with our first person offender series a few years ago. We set up a scenario where somebody was walking along and they see this guy just beating the stew out of this woman, just beating on her, wailing on her. And in this scenario, and of course, the good guy then is going to be, I'm going to save the day, right? And to your point, yep. It's one of those deals, you don't know what's really going on. He pulls his gun out, you know, and tells this guy, stop right now, shoots the guy who's beating on the woman. The woman pulls out a gun and shoots the good guy. You have no idea what's really going on.
Yep, I'm not saying I would never help anybody out, but I'm very cautious because of stuff I've read of things like that where not necessarily the woman pulls it out, but, you know, you shoot the guy that's beating her and even threatening to kill her, and you go to court and she's saying it wasn't this way and now you're in a bad way and you got to spend more money and time to try to get yourself out of this when you were trying to be the good guy.
Yep, no doubt about it. It happens. You know, and I mean, I talked to a police officer, was shot by a woman in a domestic violence call. They went in and pulled this guy out who was beating on his wife, and then the wife gets ticked off and ended up shooting the officer. So it's just one of those deals, you know, and this is somebody with, you know, pretty good training who has, you know, police background and everything else. The rest of us don't have that. We also don't have, body armor. And don't have backup, and don't have a partner, and, you know, all that other stuff. So, but look, I appreciate the call, and I agree with you. It's one of those, I don't know what the right call is, but I do know you need to think about it ahead of time. You don't want to just suddenly leap into action not having thought about it. Are you willing to insert yourself into an unknown situation? Some situations are clearly not unknown. Some situations are pretty clear-cut. If somebody's walking down the street and just shooting innocent people, you kind of got a feeling what's going on there. If somebody, you see him just smoke a police officer, you know what's going on there. There was a case many years ago in Texas. A police officer, I think a state trooper, a highway patrolman in Texas, pulled a guy over. The guy gets out and just shot the cop. Cop goes down. There's a guy about 100 yards behind him. He was coming back from deer hunting. He pulls over and watches this guy shoot the cop. And then the guy's going to come over, he's going to finish off the cop, and this deer hunter pulls his .243 out and smoked this guy from about 100 yards away. I got no problem with that one. Not at all. Hey, look, think about this stuff and make it a commitment to go get training for people who teach this. It's very involved. It's a lot more than you're used to thinking about. And probably about 90% of what you think you know about it is wrong. The only way to know that is to go get training. Be safe out there.